Big T, I want to start out by saying, first of all, condolences on your loss. That was a tough game yesterday.
Yeah, it was. That's why they make you win four, though.
Yeah, I saw that you went. You said that you went from like being positive that you were making the World Series to now it's all over. I didn't say that.
Big Cat said that.
But you agreed with him.
I quoted and said I was going to go take a walk, which I did. It made me feel a little bit better.
So I think that that's a little bit of an overstatement. I still think that you'd rather be the Braves right now.
I don't know that I agree with that.
Why?
All the momentum is on their side. They have the better pitcher going tonight. I mean, I want the Braves to win, but not a fantastic spot to be in.
Okay. And also, they're like the most important part, and I'm surprised it wasn't the first thing Big T said. They're the Atlanta Braves.
Atlanta
sports. This is what they do. Like every realistic Atlanta fan right now feels awful.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I tried to this morning. I woke up. I felt a little bit better. I'm like, okay, we only need to win one out of the three in Los Angeles, but that was the one to win. Mm-hmm. You needed to win that one. So I don't know. We'll see what happens.
It sounds like the Dodgers have broken your resistance for the next game without even fighting.
Wow, that's a good segue.
That's what Sun Tzu says is one of the keys to victory. Mm-hmm. You haven't even taken the field yet, Big T.
Yeah,
and you've already given up a loss game four. This is loser talk from Big T saying, I don't feel great about the matchup if you're an Atlanta sports fan. Actually, I would say that Atlanta sports has broken your resistance.
Correct.
Your enemy is Atlanta sports, which is also.
The enemy is within.
The enemy is striking from within at you and has been. Do you feel like you're just a simp for Atlanta sports after all that they've put you through?
Yeah, but if we blow this one, it's gonna be time for like soul searching. Like, if they do this 2 years in a row, I don't know what next year is going to look like.
It can't get worse. It can always get worse.
But it might not. I don't know that I'll have it in me anymore. I really don't.
I don't know that you can also prove that it can't get worse. I mean, we've seen lows that you didn't know existed from Atlanta sports.
Yeah. I was telling somebody the other day that there's the good news is with the Washington football team, there's no way that a scandal can get worse than potentially using their dead best player of the last 30 years, a local hero, Sean Taylor, as a publicity stunt. And the second those words came out of my mouth, I was like, you honestly could not tell me something that Dan Snyder has done that would surprise me. You can't try. Give it a shot. What do you think would be the worst thing that you could say about Dan Snyder? And this is all
telling cheerleaders to pose nude for photographs and then sending them around the NFL?
That's the worst?
No, they weren't actually posing. They didn't know those photos were getting taken in the first place.
Ah,
okay. They're just topless for a shoot.
That's very bad, but again, you can get way worse than that, and I would believe it.
Well, that was just a hypothetical example.
I'll give you an example. When the reputable Indian sports blog came out that was allegedly set up by Bruce Allen, the former president of the football team, that alleged that Dan Snyder was on the Epstein flight logs, I was like, yeah, okay, I can see that. You can't surprise me with anything. I suspect that it's the same for you as an Atlanta sports fan, and it's not just the Braves, it's also the Falcons.
Yeah, well, the Falcons actually have hit rock bottom. Like, they actually couldn't do anything worse than that. The Braves still, like, I guess they could blow a 3-0 lead if they wanted. That would be something. But, they keep finding new ways to...
Who's worse? Who is more cursed, the Falcons or the Braves?
The Braves, because they're actually good enough consistently to, like, make you think that, okay, this is the one. Like, 2018, they were really good. Lose the Dodgers, fine. 2019... they were probably the best team in the National League, if not baseball. They give up the 10-run inning. 2020, they were absolutely the best team in baseball, go up 3-1 and lose. And this year, they're not as good, but they had like that magical feel to them. And they were like, okay, now that we revamped the team at the trade deadline, like now they're going to do it even without Acuna and Sorokin, those guys. And then they go up 2-0, and you're like, okay, so this is going to be the one. And then now it could be 3-1 tonight. We don't know, but...
By the time you hear this tomorrow, give me a prediction. What's the score? This is Big T's official prediction.
I think the Braves are going to win 7-6.
7-6.
I think this is the night the offenses break out, and I think we find a way to scratch enough across, and we're going to win.
Okay, and if you guys lose, when this show comes out, what's your mentality going to be like?
If it's 2-2, that's probably it. Like, in all actuality, if it's 2-2, they still have one more game at home, that series is over.
Okay. I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Big T.
It's okay.
It sounds miserable, honestly.
I'm used to it. Don't worry about it.
And let's not even talk about all those division championships in a row when they had the best pitching staff, I think, of all time.
Yeah, unquestionably.
You can probably say definitively, right?
That
was
sure.
The best pitching staff of all time, not in like a one-season blip or when they maybe added somebody at a trade deadline. I'm talking about when you have Tom Glavine, John Smoltz, Greg Maddux, and Steve Avery, mm-hmm. who I believe did – wait, did Steve Avery ever win a Cy Young? I thought he might have.
I don't think so. He was an all-star.
Was he the only one that didn't? So, but still, those were four of the top seven starters in baseball probably at one given point, and they only got one chip out of it. So that's tough. Don't mean to keep bringing this stuff up, but you know, there's a lot to get into with Atlanta sports.
Steve Avery finished sixth in Cy Young voting in 1991. That was as high as he got.
Okay,
but he was an all-star.
Very good player.
Are the Hawks like the easiest team to watch just because there's no like expectations at all?
Yeah. Like watching the Hawks like this past year was like really fun because, you know, whatever happens with the Hawks happens. Like nobody really, if they win, awesome. If they lose, fine. Like I feel that way about the Falcons now. Like they, whatever.
Right. After that, I mean, how could you ever have expectations? Yeah.
Again? No, the Braves are the only team that I still have expectations for.
So while we've all been engaging in a sympathy session here with Big T trying to get to the bottom of his feelings about things, I want to show you guys what Billy has been doing. Billy's just been drawing a picture of a bear. it's to be fair, a pretty good bear. I'm trying to identify the type. Is this a growler bear or is this?
It's a growler bear.
It's a growler bear. He drew a growler bear. He's got some pretty ferocious fangs.
Yeah, let's put that on a sweatshirt.
It's a pretty badass bear. Billy is in charge of designing one of our t-shirts. I'm curious to know how that's going. If you've started it.
Yeah, boom. There it is.
No, there's going to be a frog, right?
Yeah, I'm going to do a fat ass frog too. Big, pretty lit.
A big frog.
Billy just sent a picture of a giant frog in the group chat and just said, just put this as big as you can on a sweatshirt.
I got something new and crazy that I think I might try. So on Bodybuilding Forum,
mm-hmm.
One of the greatest gathering of the minds, you have a couple guys who have hacked the system because they have been getting – so a lot of veterinary a lot of veterinary medicine, especially for large zoological animals, is actually, you know, pretty – open, like you can buy it in many places.
Open source.
So there's this guy who's been buying primate growth and reproduction biscuit, as they're specifically formulated for male great apes to get large and fuck. So I figured it's closest to what I want. And they're eating them.
Is it working?
For gains and just like to be, you know, gorilla mode. So, I mean, we saw... So I think I might... I think I might start getting some of these Missouri.com-primate. Let me check this out.
Okay, so you're getting ape biscuits now.
Yeah.
Do you have an actual account at Bodybuilding Forums, or are you just a lurker?
I will not disclose
my bodybuilding. Are you MISC?
I'm not going to let anyone know my Bodybuilding Forum account name because it's been there since I was like 12 trying to get jacked. And there's a lot of weird shit on.
Have you been shadow banned ever from the bodybuilding.com forums?
No, they're a very open group.
What do you have to do to get banned from that, do you think?
Probably just like posting like...
I think eating humans. I think if you advocate for cannibalism, which Arian Foster would be banned from the bodybuilding.com forums, as he said that it wouldn't be that bad to eat humans. If you advocate for cannibalism as a form of gains, I think they'd probably at least they'd suspend you for a week, probably. But Billy right now is looking up the market price for these ape biscuits.
Where are these?
All right. So Art of War. We do have – I think we have to use Art of War in practice now. I think the theoretical aspect is over, gents, because – and lady. We have competition on our hands. In the Art of War book club. Aaron Rodgers, no less than Aaron Rodgers, has decided that his book club is going to do the Art of War. So I think we need to figure out how to go Art of War mode on Aaron Rodgers' book club and use the Sun Tzu techniques because we'll be ahead of his. I doubt that he's going to be blistering through the pages at a chapter a week like we are. So we'll always be ahead of him, We need to figure out how we can subvert his book club using our Art of War book club. Any ideas out there?
Should we rename our podcast the NFC Championship?
Yeah, that's good.
It's a good one.
That's good.
You'll never get this.
Or why don't we just name the podcast the Aaron Rodgers Art of War Book Club? And then people look it up and they're listening to us.
When that, that will be the Aaron title Rodgers. Of this episode.
There Perfect. We go. Okay, hey guys, this is me, Aaron Rodgers. I've won one Super Bowl. You think that I've won several because I've talked about as being the best quarterback of all time. Hate my family. Dated Danica Patrick for a while. That was cool. Now I'm married to the chick from Big Little Lies. So I'm doing pretty well. I own Big Cat. I own the Chicago Bears. And I'm about to beat the Washington football team this weekend. I'm surly. I've got greasy hair. And I'm going to go as young Michael Scott for Halloween. I can almost guarantee that that's what my very timely, relevant costume is going to be. That's why I've been growing my hair out. So let's talk about the Art of War, guys. Let's talk about it. I'm joined here by my best friend, Big T. And Big T is upset about his Braves. We're trying to figure out maybe ways that we can defeat the Atlanta Braves, how they can the actually. No, I'm saying like how Big T can defeat his defeatism.
Okay.
As an Atlanta sports fan.
I said we were going to win today. I think you're putting words in my mouth.
Okay. I think you're just saying that you think you're going to win today.
It's 50-50. It's honestly 50-50.
I think my biggest takeaway from this chapter, this is chapter 3 of The Art of War by Sun Tzu. He is basically just saying, as the great Zach De La Rocca from Rage Against the Machine would put it, know your enemy. Know your enemy. Know thy enemy. Did anybody ever say know thy enemy, or am I making that up? Know thy enemy. I think it might be
from.
If you Google know thy enemy, it says quote by Sun Tzu.
Oh, by Sun Tzu.
Yeah, okay. It's actually from this chapter.
Okay, so if you know neither the enemy nor yourself, you will succumb in every battle. So did it's you? About knowing your what?
You what? Circled the same one I did.
Oh, Billy and I circled the same passage. Interesting. Huh. So this is just about obviously knowing the details of your enemy's forces, specifically how big they are. Sun Tzu is big on weighing his battle strategies based on whether or not you're outnumbered, whether or not you have the numbers on them, and then adjusting your form of battle that way. I think he said if you completely outnumber them, that's the best. Because yeah. Then sometimes you don't even have to fight, and they'll be like, yeah, I'll just lay it. You'll be greeted as liberators if you really outnumber them. Then if you slightly outnumber them, you can fight them and defeat them. If you are the same, then you can meet them on the field of battle. If you're slightly outnumbered, then you can, what was that one? Like you can fight and run.
We can avoid the enemy.
Yeah, avoid.
We can flee.
You can flee.
If quite unequal in every way, we can flee from him. That's the, we've talked about equating this to college football several times. Uh-huh. Those are my thoughts about Tennessee playing Alabama this week. Like we could just flee.
Just run out of the state.
We could just, if quite unequal in every way, which I would say that's the case, we can just flee.
So, okay, so Big T, you're admitting then that the Texas Democrats had a very good idea when they all decided to get on a plane and fly to Washington, D.C. This is, right? I mean, they just straight up flee the state.
I like the proportions of this. If you're 10-1, surround them, 5-1, just attack them. I like how he has, it's like mixology. It's like a bartender.
Yeah.
I like that. Those mixes have those like proportions bartenders have been using for thousands or hundreds of years. And Art of War, those proportions, 10-1 surround, 5-1 attack. Anything smaller than that, just sort of.
Well, it's saying like if the proportions are like 9 vodka to 1 orange juice, flee.
Yeah.
At that point, you run away.
No, surround.
No, but that's the other way around.
The other way around, yeah.
Where it's like one shot of vodka in a glass of orange juice is a screwdriver.
Uh-huh.
And you can surround it and just dominate it. 5 of it, if it's like a double screwdriver, you have to duke it out. You have to just smash it back. If it's equal, then it's like that's going to be an issue. And then once it gets further and further, more vodka strong, more vodka forward, then you just run away. The exact opposite holds true, by the way, if you're making a mimosa, where it's like it should be 9-1 champagne to orange juice, I think.
Yeah, I was reading it like if it's 10-1, that's like one of your the fish bowls you get PFT. You surround it with friends to share it with. And if it's an equal, that means it's probably a weak pour. You want to avoid that bar and bartender and generally flee.
I like it. I like this. I like that analogy a lot there, Billy. What else did people have circled in this chapter?
Mine was, he will win whose army is animated by the same spirit throughout all its ranks. I'm a big fan of unification. I'm a big fan of one heartbeat. RIP Coach O, coaching at LSU.
That's what's known as getting on the same page.
Yeah.
You got to get on the same page. But how do you get an entire army on the same page? Because you can't use phrases like, let's get on the same page, because then they'll know that you're a fraud.
Speeches. You know what's funny about speeches back then, like back during Sun Tzu's times? Like, you'd have one dude telling a speech to probably about 100 people, but let's say there was 10,000 people in his army. Then those 100 people would then go back and say what he said to other people, and you just had a picture-perfect game of telephone. And I'm just wondering, like, was there any confusion? Like, that must have been really hard. Like, we take it for granted, like, mass emails, like, get your point across. But back then, it was just a lot of, you know, games of telephone.
There were no microphones.
Exactly.
So you could put a guy onto a stage, but then by the time that person spoke, it would only go out to maybe a couple hundred people tops, right?
Yeah. You know who had a very screechy voice that projected well out of the presidents? Abe Lincoln. It wasn't a good voice, but it carried.
That's important. It's very important. Billy brings up a good point. Like, you want to make sure that the people that are vetting, or you want to make sure that you're vetting the people that are going to be carrying your speech across to the rest of your soldiers, right?
I guess it was just by rank, you know? So, like, Sun Tzu talks to the high generals go talk to their lieutenants, and then their lieutenants go tell their foot soldiers and whatnot. So,
do you think a guy like Mike Tyson would have even advanced that high in the rankings back then, even though he would have probably been the best warrior of all time, if when he tried to translate the speech from the main general, he had to share that in the Mike Tyson voice? That probably would have been a limiting factor, right?
100%.
Yeah, you need somebody that can boom it out there.
Yeah.
Who do you think has the best speech of any leader? Or any, let's just say anybody in sports, who would you want to be getting your instructions from? I have one idea. Huh. Patrick Mahomes. That's right. No, I would go Calais Campbell. Calais Campbell's voice, if you've ever heard it, that's a guy that, as Sun Tzu put it, can break the enemy's resistance without fighting. If Calais Campbell just said to me, I'm going to kick your ass, I think I would just pass out. I think he's already won.
Who's the guy in the Jets that has a funny voice? He was a high draft pick. He's a lineman, I think.
Oh, Quinnen Williams.
Yeah, Quinnen Williams.
Oh, yeah.
He's got a funny voice?
Yeah, the video of him is like, bless you, thank you. He, like, thanks himself after he sneezes. All-time video.
I love that. What about you guys? Who would you pick? If you had to pick one athlete or person in sports, give a speech.
I mean, in sports entertainment, like, some wrestlers probably would have made great sort of speech orators,
yeah,
thus leaders.
The Rock. The Rock would be great.
Hulk Hogan.
Mm-hmm. Big T.
I feel like the answer's got to be Saban, right?
You think Saban's got a great speech voice? A great, like, let's get fired up voice? I'd put Coach O well over Nick Saban.
Coach, yeah.
Coach O's stick wears thin on me. I would not like to be around Coach O for very long.
You bring him in if you're already losing, like, midway through, if you're losing the battle. That's when you insert Coach O to turn things around. I don't think you want him there off of a winning battle. You got to fire him immediately before you go into the next battle.
I think his stick wore thin on everybody, as evidenced by his current predicament.
His stick wore thin on a few people that were high
it
up
sure
in leadership.
Did. Yeah. Sure did.
Folks, that was smash the folks button on that. We should get a folks button on this podcast, where every time one of us breaks out one of those little treats, who should do the folks voice? I think it's Big T. It's got to be Big T.
If Coach O is available, he's got nothing going on.
Yeah,
folks.
Can you look that up, or Mad Dog? Try to find an example of Coach O using the word folks in a speech and see if we can isolate that. That'll be the folks button that we can smash.
Perfect.
But, yeah, Billy, I like that point. It's really interesting that you have to count on the people beneath you to be able to deliver the message
right
to the entire level of troops if they want to get the picture. And eventually there's going to be something lost. Yeah. Which is why Sun Tzu probably makes these instructions very, very simple. Because it's hard to misinterpret anything that he's saying here. He also says, in the practical art of war, the best thing of all is to take the enemy's country whole and intact. To shatter and destroy it is not so good. That's pretty good. Like, if you're going to take something over, you might as well make sure that it's a nice village or a nice city that you've got there, so you don't have to rebuild it.
Also, I was thinking about the absorption of other troops. Like, let's say, like, instead of slaughtering a whole unit or army, just, like, to take them over, like, it's got to be hard to make those guys fight for you after. So, mm-hmm. I mean, because, honestly, they're probably pretty swayable if it's like, hey, you're not going to die if you fight for us. But also, it's going to be, like, do you let them work together or you just, like, break them up and give one prisoner to each troop?
That's a good question. I think
would you, if you had a fighting regiment together and you took them over, weren't taking them prisoner, were just like, you fight for us now, would you rather have them together working as a group, which might be more efficient, or to just divide them all up between your regiments in order to not have them like turn on you? Or
you gotta divide them up,
divide them
up, you
gotta
send them everywhere. Yeah. Unless, so there's one thing that the U.S. did back in, I think it was World War II, when we were fighting against Germany, we were on their territory. When we would capture like a bunch of high ranking people, sometimes what we would do is we wouldn't torture them to get information. We would actually put them in a house all together, and the house would be like a pretty normal house. There would be soldiers stationed outside to make sure they couldn't leave, but it was like a really nice house, and we gave them great food that they could cook for themselves. We gave them beer. We gave them everything that they wanted, treated them like kings basically, but we had every room in the house mic'd up. So they were happy. They were like living great lives, and they were just like openly discussing all the stuff that they had been through. And we got a bunch of intelligence out of it that ended up helping us win the war, or contributing to us win the war. I thought that was an interesting way to handle it. Like, not even the real art of war is not even letting your enemies know that they are your enemies.
Hmm. I looked up Coach O. I literally just typed in Coach O saying the word folks, and the first thing that came up was a USA Today article with the title, "Closed Captioning Was No Match for Ed Orgeron's Press Conference."
Yeah. So,
I don't know if it's going to be in there, but...
Might be tough, yeah, to search through that, because any transcription is going to be probably not exactly accurate.
Not great.
That Coach O said. I'm also reminded with what Billy said about like capturing soldiers and what you do with the opposing team's army. Back to the Iraq war, biggest mistake that some may say that we made after we invaded Iraq the second time, the Iraq war too, we disbanded the entire army. So what that meant was there were a bunch of people that didn't necessarily even fight us when we were on our way in that were of military age with military training that had no more income. They had families that they had to support. Yeah. They had no job, nothing to do. And so they ended up teaming up with each other eventually and becoming part of the main insurgents that has been attacking our troops over there for the last, 18 years. A lot of people say that what we should have done is just continue to pay everybody that was in the Iraq army because they weren't actively fighting us, and have them build up the country of Iraq after we've already been in there. Then they have like a security apparatus already in place. So just like keep it going. I always thought that was an interesting thing where it's like the natural inclination would be to dissolve the army, to be like, hey, we just fought this army. We conquered them. See ya. Your days are over. It's a new sheriff in town. But in reality, in practice, the smarter thing to do would have been to continue to pay them, keep them on our payroll, let them think that we're their friends.
Right. The way I was reading it, even when Billy was just saying it, it wasn't as much like like, I wasn't thinking of like absorbing the army and stuff like that. I was more seeing it as like, do you want to be viewed when you take over as like a benevolent ruler? Because that doesn't seem like the most effective way to gain the trust of the people you just took over. Like, almost like keep the status quo, be like, hey, we just thought like literally the army was the bad guys. You guys are all right. We're not here to mess with your day to day life. Like, you're trying to ideally gain their trust, not just enforce your way of life down their throats, which I think we've seen does not quite work.
Mm-hmm. So we want to make Aaron Rodgers believe that we are his friend.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we want to be seen as being benevolent towards him. So this is the accompanying podcast to The Art of War by Aaron Rodgers.
You should probably bleep out that thing about his family.
Yeah, we'll bleep out the one of the parts.
No. I think the best way to get on his side is to remind him how bad of a family he was born in. He had to break those chains.
Good point. You know what?
Damn right.
You know what, Coley? It takes a lot of guts in this modern day and age to be known as the guy that broke up with his brother. No one does that.
No one.
No, literally no one. Even Uday and Kusay Hussein, they were like this till the bitter end. With us, I think we should applaud Aaron Rodgers for having the guts to cut off toxic relationships. Good job, Aaron. We're totally on your side. So I think that'll get us on his side, that piece of shit. Mm-hmm. Anybody else have anything from this chapter? Mad Dog? Just yell really loud, Mad Dog.
Thank you, Big T. Thank you, Big T. Let the record show that Big T gave me his mic.
He's a gentleman.
Gentlemen, so I liked the one, I had two, the one that said it's number 5 on the first page where it says the general, unable to control his irritation, will launch his men to the assault like swarming ants, with the result that 1/3 of his men are slain while the town still remains untaken. Such are the disastrous effects of a siege, which I think, in my opinion, shows how if you can't control yourself as a general, things go bad quick. So if you can't control your own emotions, then you're just going to kill everyone over it.
And saying don't be triggered.
Yeah. So if you have a bad day, like, you could be killing hundreds of thousands of people.
Yeah.
If you don't think fast.
Don't let your emotions control what you're doing strategically.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I like that. A lot of times I think that we operate entirely out of emotion. It's usually the only way that I operate.
Mm-hmm. And then my other one was, he will win whose army is animated by the same spirit throughout all its ranks. So that basically is just like good vibes only.
Mm-hmm.
Like, in so many words.
I actually think, though, that a lot of history's greatest things come out of operating out of pure emotion. We wouldn't have ever built a fire if we weren't hungry as shit and cold, right?
Is that emotion or is that necessity, though?
They weren't thinking strategically. They were just like, damn, I'm cold. I'm angry. I'm going to rub. You know what? Fuck it. Last ditch effort.
Rubbing these sticks.
I'm going to try rubbing sticks together. You know?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I feel like the good stuff, all of the great art comes out of emotion.
Mm, that's fair.
Jimi Hendrix didn't have a strategic meeting with himself about how to write Voodoo Child's Slight Return.
Right. But like, Jimi Hendrix also didn't have like people below him on like where whose lives were on the line.
That's true. Good point. Fair enough. What would that equate to in the NFL?
Yeah, let's pay some respect to Troop Jimi Hendrix.
Good point. He was a soldier. He probably read The Art of War.
there were a lot more, like we've pointed out in every chapter so far, like no shit, Sun Tzu. Like the one we started with, the if you know neither the enemy nor yourself, you will succumb in every battle. He was like, yeah, if you're dumb as shit, you probably want to sit this one out.
Yeah, if you don't know anything at all. Like
you shouldn't be picking fights.
So Sun Tzu is saying that if you've never met your army and you don't know who you're fighting, but you're pissed off, you shouldn't send 100,000 people to fight. I agree with that.
Yeah, strong agree.
Fact check. I think Sun Tzu nailed that one. I would say actually, like with the idea of not governing or operating under emotion, you could just look at Greg Williams for that. He just says he just gets mad during games and he's like, fuck it, let's blitz. Send another guy. You know what? We only sent 7 last time. Let's send 8. That usually doesn't work out so well. They usually get slaughtered in that. But that's how, hey, you know, he's Dr. Heat. He's got to dial something up. Big T, you got anything?
No, my part about the if we can flee, that was what I took.
All right, if we can flee.
We should do more fleeing in general in life.
I do feel like retreat gets a bad rap. You know,
ain't nothing wrong every once in a while with just cutting your losses.
Yeah.
George Washington retreated from the Battle of Brooklyn.
There you go. Smart retreats can be very effective. We should give cowards more credit, which is why we're dapping up Aaron Rodgers.
Wow.
Got him. I'm also negging Aaron Rodgers in a way. Avery, do you have anything that you'd like to add from chapter 3?
No, I was just going to say nanodosing moves the needle. Clearly no one has been talking about Art of War until we did.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. That's good all point. I got.
All right. very good. Good episode on Art of War. Billy drew Grid Bear, so let's all recognize that as well. Does the bear have a name?
Theodore.
Theodore. That's very original. Theodore the Bear, as drawn by Billy. We should NFT that. So tune in next Tuesday for another macrodosing. Next Thursday for another Art of War. Love you guys.